I have entitled my short devotion for this week, A Shared Grief. You know, Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joys, and weep with those who weep, sharing others' grief." These last 2 weeks have been difficult for two of my very close friends and prayer partners. One lost a friend of over 40 years who had fought cystic fibrosis her entire life, and another lost her daughter to cancer. Both women were too young to pass, and both were believers, and they, along with their family and all those praying for them, believed in healing, and they were pressing in for it until ultimate healing came. I wept for both of my friends. We were never designed to endure the separation that death brings. Death's heart tear is only born with the grace of God and the love of those around us who share our grief. A timely email arrived on my screen from Renovare this week that addressed the dilemma of pain and loss so beautifully, I really wanted to share it with you all. Quote, "The charismatic tradition, our focus this month, often places an emphasis on miraculous healing. That puts us at an interesting crossroads of pain and healing, an intersection which raises big questions that this tiny intro and tiny author are ill-equipped to address. But here's what I know. Jesus is the clearest picture of God available to us. This makes the Gospels the best place to see God's perspective on suffering. There we see that even while Jesus learned obedience through suffering, there is never a sense that he desired to prolong anyone's suffering so that person could, quote, learn a lesson. Quite the opposite. He was compassion in the flesh. He healed everyone who came to him. In short, Jesus reveals that God is pro-healing. Then why are so many people not healed? That's one of those big questions with which we must all wrestle. I will say that unless a roaringly clear divine no arises, we can and should pray for healing in Jesus' name. And the gospel accounts give us confidence that these prayers are indeed in his name, and that's in line with his character and desires. We can also, in Jesus' name, support all human efforts to alleviate suffering. And then, if healing delays, we choose to be present without platitudes or presumption to those who are in pain. And although these words are probably best unspoken to the person in pain, we hold hope in our hearts that when all is said and done, God will have wasted nothing. Brian Morkin, Director of Communications for Renovare. You know, Isaiah describes Jesus as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief in Isaiah 53:3. Just two verses later, we read that by his wounds we are healed, Isaiah 53:5. That's the tension we live with on this side of eternity, a mystery I continue to study and pray about with all diligence for better understanding. I have prayed for healing, and I've received it. And I have prayed for healing, and I've not been healed yet. Although I don't have a theological handle on suffering and healing, I do know that my desire is to walk as Jesus walked. I want to bring heaven to earth as he did. So I will press on both to understand more clearly how to walk in the supernatural power that Jesus took hold of and to love as he loved. I know that through suffering, compassion emerges. To suffer with another leads to a mindset of mercy, offering another God's extravagant love. As we walk alongside those who journey through grief, offering not answers but tenderness, encouragement, and empathy, we exemplify the community that Christ has called us to. I believe it is that community that infuses strength and hope in the ultimate goodness of God.